Art is the unofficial seventh source of spiritual inspiration for the Unitarian Church, according to some. Our speakers have been asked to speak to that piece of art, the experience, the music piece, or poetry that moved and inspired them and connected them more deeply to themselves. I would like to invite our speakers, Francie Luann, Teresa Morton, Chris McCarricker, Judy Villette, and Sue Sparlin to come, and they will take turns sharing their stories.
10% of my approximate 1,000 poems were written because I am a Unitarian. The CUC created a brochure based on my 33 tercets on being a Unitarian. My religion inspires my poetry, and poetry inspires my life. Thank you for that. When did I have that punch in the soul from poetry? It happened when Leonard Cohen sang Closing Time on the Ralph Ben-Murgi show years ago. I'd like that at the end of my memorial service. I have fantasized about having a study group on the gospel according to Cohen. One book of poetry that I've reread several times is, and see what happens, The Journey Poems by Nanaimo's Ursula Vaira. Included are notes from the Vision Quest, a 30-day, 1,000-mile paddle in a Coast Salish canoe in 1997. For me, this is sacred text. Another keeper for me is David Day's Nevermore, a book of hours, meditations on extinction. The meditations, if done by many, may have a power to save us all. I've written a poem in awe of it. David Day. Here at the Summer Dreams Festival on the community stage, you're our featured poet. You read from Nevermore, your book of hours, meditations on extinction. You read us poems of birds, fish, animals, extinct in the last few hundred years. Your work is a vigil for 24 hours dedicated to vanished species. A meditation has four parts. Part one. Illustration, commissioned portraits by distinguished wildlife artists. Part two, reportage, testimonies by witnesses, the first or last to see these animals alive. Part three, commentary. Scientific and historic context for those stories. Part four, elegy, your original poetry for these beings, their environments. David Day, this is a sacred text.
This drawing depicts White Pass, one of the high passes facing the miners on the Klondike Gold Rush. My uncle, Art Morton, worked on the White Pass and Yukon Railroad when he was a young man, just 18 years old, heading into the Yukon to pan for gold during the summer and cut firewood for the steamboats in the winter. 67 years later, This picture captures the lake on a June afternoon when my uncle and my family retraced that route. I created this picture using colored pencil, a very slow technique. The sky alone has 15 coats of blue applied. During the many, many hours I worked on this drawing, I received many gifts. I collected silence that let me hear the faint breeze moving over the landscape. As I filled in the slope of the far mountain, I saw the winter snows falling silently on the land, and then the icy northern lights as they caught the tips of the drifts and failed to illuminate the dips. Tracing the shapes of the rocks and trying to capture their tired, worn colors gave me a glimpse of the implacable power of the glaciers that so recently relinquished this bit of earth. Shaping those puny, stunted shrubs, my soul was filled with awe at the raw stubbornness of the life force that brings forth leaves on these misshapen branches each meager spring. The careless ice in the glorious blue of the lake, so difficult to transform onto the two-dimensional page, haunted me with its nuanced shades and echoing shapes. I yearned to immerse myself in the indigo depths, even as I shrank from the numbing, killing cold. I am thankful to the core of my being for this meditative connection to our beautiful Gaia home.
Good morning. I'm not easily moved by art. Elegant solutions to mechanical problems often evoke stronger emotional reactions in me than art. I'm a gardener, and last winter I was driving in a work truck, and the Vibe 98.9, not my preferred radio station, was playing on the radio. It plays dance music and hip-hop, and it's not really the scene I'm part of. And on that particular day, I'd been working really hard, and I was tired, and I wasn't really paying attention to the music. But then a song came on, and some of the words started to penetrate my indifference, words like gay and preconceived ideas. And it was a song about humanizing the love that gay people feel for one another, just like straight people. And it was critical of hip-hop and conservative religion that failed to stand up for equal rights. And it was so touching, and we have a clip of it.
We press play, don't press pause. Progress march on, with the veil over our eyes. We turn our back on the cause, till the day that my uncles can be united by law. And kids aren't walking around the hallway, plagued by pain in their heart. A world so hateful, some would rather die than be who they are. And a certificate on paper isn't gonna solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start. No law is gonna change us, we have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear, underneath it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
And I can't change my mind. Even if I try, even if I.
So here I am, driving from the city dump to the job site, tired and grumpy, and this song made me tear up a little bit. It filled me full of hope for the future. This is a popular song on a popular radio station, and it's a message of acceptance and humanity. Not something I expected to hear on a radio station that plays club music centered around getting drunk and hooking up. I couldn't help but think of all the kids these days that have this positive message just coming to them over the car radio. It wasn't a message, it was a message that I didn't get until I was older, and I had to search it out. People pine for the good old days, but I don't. I can't wait for the future when messages of acceptance are everywhere. Thank you.
I was born visual and tactile. I think my earliest memories are the patterns of the lace curtains in my nursery. I have vivid memories of the wallpaper in that room. I felt, even as a child, blessed to be born in the beautiful Alberta foothills. I absorbed the textures of the sky, the rocks, and the flowers around me. I felt wrapped in the landscape. As a teen, I was anxious to move to the city and absorb and feed my soul with the man-made knowledge and culture that were not part of my growing up. I began to study, at that time, the moving art, the moving meditation of Tai Chi. And I realized how important movement is to my creativity and my happiness. Life became a challenge when I could no longer move freely, and I had to go through a hip replacement. And after that, my energy improved, my artistic drive was strong, and I was back at full speed, overflowing with ideas for new work. My inspiration is all around me, no matter where I live. So Alberta, Honolulu, and Hawaii, I lived for a while, Vancouver, and now I'm living in New Westminster and enjoying the views from above the Fraser River. And speaking of rivers, I feel the creative force is like a river for me. It's there to access for me and for everyone else. Butterflies are an ongoing theme in my work. It takes me a few years to pick up and analyze these themes, but to me, I think the butterfly is a symbol of beauty and transience of life. My current piece, it's up on there and it's here beside me, is called Migration, and it voices my concern about the environment as it impacts the monarch butterflies. And while I was working on this piece, and it's hand appliqued and hand painted, and it was quite time consuming, I lucked upon a book by one of my favorite authors, Barbara Kingsolver. And this book is called Flight Behavior, and it's about monarch butterflies. So finding it at that time was so fortuitous. I don't really believe in luck, so it had to be something deeper. I was incredibly moved by the book. It gives a scientific background for the butterflies, but especially moving to me was the Mexican word for monarch, which is mariposa. And in Mexican, it translates as the souls of departed children. And in my work, you can see that there's a large area of black and white butterflies. And in my mind, that area was the dead butterflies and the ghosts of all the butterflies that were not going to live because we have ruined their environment. So I was very moved by the book. That piece will go flying away on an exhibition with the Fiber Art Network, so it'll go to Alberta first in an exhibition called On the Wind. And I don't know how far it will travel, but I don't expect to see it back for a couple of years. The Alberta foothills are calling me back, and I'm planning a road trip in June to reconnect with my source, which is the foothills landscape and my wonderful family that's still there.
At certain times in my life, music has moved me to that direct experience of the divine, as it says in our sources, to getting in touch with something deep within my soul, bigger than myself, and ineffable. In spite of its being ineffable, I will try to eff it. In 1995, a beloved friend of mine, Alan McGee, died of AIDS-related complications. My heart was broken. I was inconsolable. Alan was a gay man. I was not. We both thought that those conditions would protect us from the entanglements of love and intimacy, and so we could risk being honest and truthful as dear friends. I was so in love with Ellen. It was a love that did not include sexual contact. But there it was anyway, love and connection and such joy in being together. And when he died, all I could do is weep. I couldn't even speak. In the midst of all of this, a dear friend invited me to attend a week-long workshop at Naramata with Carolyn McDade, singing her songs with a group of women in the beautiful Okanagan. I was unsure. I was grieving. I knew nothing of Naramata or Carolyn McDade. But my friend assured me that I would be healed by the experience. Near the end of the workshop, as the group prepared to sing a particular song, I said, "How beautiful this song is. Why haven't we sung this song before?" And the women answered, "We have. You've been crying." All week, the words and the music of this beautiful song allowed me to heal, forced me to heal by the mere singing of them, or the attempt at singing them in my case. I got exactly what I needed to heal the harsh pain and loss of my beloved friend. The words of this song spoke to me of the special love that Alan and I had shared, of Alan's life and his struggles, of his dying, and of the gift he was to me and to others. It spoke to me of hope for a better world. And Leo is going to play, and I'm going to attempt to sing the song. And I think we can play it a little bit slower because we do have some time. The song is "There Is a Time" by Carolyn McDade.
There is a time that we must rise. There is a time that we must stand. There is a time that we must come together for blessed are our lives, blessed our love, and blessed the promise gathered now. There is a time that we must leave, go from the place where hatreds breed, and turning feel the Spirit breathe us together. For blessed are our lives, blessed our love, and blessed the promise gathered now.
There is a time we know the way. There is a time we watch and pray in living faith. We make our way together. There is a bow within the rain, and it will come and bend again, and colors shine where we have been together. Upon the dry, a cloud will rise, and truth will stand among the lies, and wisdom sing as we arise together, for blessed are our lives, and blessed our love, and blessed the promise gathered here.